Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monday Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 4:05 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is December 19th, and I thought we'd kick off today with the 10-year yield. It was up 10 basis points, so we're definitely seeing some resistance for prices in the region of the 200-day moving average and support for yields in the region of the peak from earlier this year. So this is still a reasonably consistent uptrend for yields. And then, of course, it begs the question, is inflation going to continue higher from here? And will the Federal Reserve persist in continuing to raise rates? There's been a very clear consensus among investors that the Fed would raise by 50 basis points in December, they would raise by 25 at the next meeting, and then pause from there on out. Which implies, of course, that we're pretty close to the top of yields. But then there is the next question. Unemployment really hasn't gone up, and corporate profits haven't rolled over yet. So what would really be the impetus for the Federal Reserve to stop raising rates? Because financial conditions have improved really quite well over the last 2 months. So when we look at those figures, I think the Bloomberg measure is as good as any. Well, we can see, well, perhaps it would be better to look at the Goldman Sachs version. We can see that financial conditions improved all the way through the last few months. Now they're in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs. I think really the Goldman Sachs version is better simply because it shows a bit more volatility. And we can then see that financial conditions tightened the whole way through 2022, and we've had a meaningful pullback over the last 2 months, and now we're seeing financial conditions begin to ease again. Well, if the Federal Reserve decides they're going to stop raising interest rates, then we're going to see a meaningful rebound in asset prices, and financial conditions would then ease even further, because asset prices are a big way that are a big part of the calculation of how easy financial conditions are. But what we are starting to see now is more demand for credit at the discount window, and that's not particularly normal. So anyone who's been around for a while has seen that lots of demand for credit at the discount window has coincided with significant crises. Now, the S&P 500 Banks Index was in positive territory in here today, so taking its cue from the rise in yields. And certainly there is some profit taking after a good sized rally in bonds over the last while. I kind of think that it's more likely than not that bonds are now in a buy the dip scenario, that yields have gone up enough, and that particularly with the risks that we have in the wider market, that there will be some demand for bonds, particularly sovereign bonds, when we see pullbacks, simply because we are going to see a pullback in earnings. And the S&P 500 banks trading below the 1,000-day moving average, well, it's not the first time that's happened, but it's really going to have to push up through that 350-point level in order to demonstrate that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And the Nasdaq remains in negative territory. So down now for 4 consecutive days, but certainly it looks like 5 because we had a big surge on the open back on 2013, and then it just closed on the downside. And this is resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average, and still a reasonably consistent downtrend overall. So this is still a negative environment, and the rebound that we had, modest as it was, over the last 2 months was in large part due to the contraction in yields. So then the big question, of course, is can stocks stabilize if yields pop on the upside from here? And I think the answer to that question is probably no. So we're certainly in a more difficult environment because a lot of the oversold conditions have been unwound. And now there's the potential for negative surprises. And I think this is going to translate into some additional weakness in Europe as well, where the stock market was in positive territory this morning, but that was a really large downside weekly key reversal last week. So we're going to have to see a really substantial pop on the upside this week in order to countermand that signal. And then the FTSE 250 has also stabilized a little in here, but still has a really very consistent sequence of lower rally highs. So we're still in a rather difficult environment because, with the speed with which central banks have been raising interest rates, it's pretty definite that there's going to be a recession. And it is really only a question of how long it's going to take for unemployment to rise. Now, the CSI 300 in China has more or less unwound all of the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average and is now beginning to roll over again. And the rest of the world is looking at China and some of the COVID statistics that are coming out there, and we see the claims that, for example, there have only been two people who've died from COVID in China over the last week. And that really falls under the bracket of hard to believe. Of course, we've had a rather the opposite set of statistics in much of the rest of the world, where when somebody died of one set of symptoms but was also diagnosed with COVID, then they were then added to the COVID total. Whereas in China, if you die of any cause that other than specifically related to COVID, the chances are then you're not going to be counted at all. So the problem, of course, is that China has a population of 1.3 billion people, and if they're not going to engage in their strict quarantines and the close quarters in which people live, then the number of cases is going to ramp higher in an exceptionally swift manner. And that suggests then that we're likely to see some significant economic pressure. But then what we're also starting to see is the government moving to provide assistance. So the property sector has had almost $1 trillion worth of supports announced over the last few weeks. Then there was more in the way of supports announced for the corporate sector in here today. So JD.com has rebounded really quite impressively over the last 6 or 7 weeks, and now it's testing the region of the sequence of lower rally highs that's been in play now for nearly 2 years. And then perhaps we can think about Baidu. So the share also sold off aggressively, but has also unwound its oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. So we've certainly seen at least some pause in consolidation here following a good-sized rebound. Then, if we think about the kinds of sectors that China is likely to champion, well, BYD certainly fits into that category in terms of electric vehicles. And the share has just about unwound its oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average, but it's at least firming in a dynamic manner from the region of the lows from earlier this year. So at least this is demonstrating at least some upside potential. And there are two big sectors that are very reliant on China. One, of course, is the steel sector, and the other is copper. So Cleveland-Cliffs is now looking like it's rolling over in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Now, this is mostly steel for the automotive industry in the USA. So not particularly focused on the international market. But it does suggest that there is going to be slowing economic growth and demand for autos in the US market. Then let's think about ArcelorMittal. Big downside weekly Q reversal last week and back below the 200-day moving average. And this really does look like a big failed upside break, period of right-hand extension, type 2 top formation with massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and now a period of right-hand extension. So this is also suggesting that the surprises are likely to be on the downside. And then I thought it was especially interesting that if we look at Vesuvius in the UK, which is a supplier of, well, let's call it technology bits and pieces to the steel sector. And it popped on the upside 6 weeks ago and firmed today from the region of the 200-day moving average. But it's at the lower side of this range that's been forming now for most of the last 20 years. So there's certainly the scope, at least, that it can go back up to the upper side of the range. And, of course, that doesn't mean that we're back in a secular bull market. But there will be demand for efficiency gains in a bear market. And if we're moving into a period of much slower economic activity on a global basis, then the steel sector is likely to experience downward pressure and they will need more efficiency. And then we can think about how does that same logic apply to the technology sector. So the robotics and automation index is still trending downwards as well. And that also had a big downside key reversal last week and is starting to follow through on the downside this week. So there's certainly going to be demand for robotics and automation equipment, particularly as we look at the geopolitical situation and the continued requirement for outsourcing of manufacturing capacity away from China and into other countries, friendshoring or nearshoring or homeshoring. But that's all going to require a lot of robotics equipment, and yet the price continues to go lower because we haven't yet had that sea change. And there's, I guess, what we might describe as slow movements in that regard. Now, with bond yields steadying, gold prices were a little bit softer. So hovering here around the $1,800 area and still above the 200-day moving average. It's clearly broken the sequence of lower rally highs. This continues to look like some consolidation and an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition. But we're probably going to require an additional catalyst for additional upside. And the gold shares were in negative territory in here today. So still also pausing in the region of the $30 area, which is the upper side of the base formation. We're not going to truly be back in a clear demand-dominated environment for gold shares until we see a sustained move up through that $30 area. I remain of the view that that will occur, but perhaps not until gold clears the $1,800 area. And oil prices were in mildly positive territory in here today. Still a downtrend overall, but it's one of the few assets that has not yet unwound its oversold condition. So there is potential at least for a further rebound in oil prices from current levels. Natural gas remains exceptionally volatile, and we had a really significant downward move in here today. So this is on the back of warmer weather being anticipated for North America. And we're definitely seeing a lot of sensitivity to short-term weather forecasts. But perhaps the most important thing is that despite the volatility, prices are easing back from the region of the 200-day moving average and back below that psychological $6 level. So there's certainly the catalyst of much colder weather required to really push prices higher from here. Then when we think about European gas prices, this talk of a cap on Russian gas is certainly weighing on prices. It does beg the question how it's going to be enforced. But the natural gas price in Europe is back below the 200-day moving average as well. I do rather think, though, that 100 is probably going to be the new floor and that we're in a higher for longer price environment overall. Of course, that is assuming that we don't move into a global depression and demand for energy collapses entirely. And of course, that is one of the main things that people are worried about, that there's going to be a big surprise. Well, the big surprise, I think, if there is going to be one, it will be in the private equity sector. So Brookfield Corp remains in a downtrend and pulling back from the region of both the 200-day and 1,000-day moving averages. No company has really done better at financial engineering and picking up big pieces of income-producing properties and commercial property in particular all over the world. So this continued downtrend is a clear sign that liquidity conditions continue to tighten. And eventually some of these illiquid prices are going to have to be remarked and marked to market. And that's going to represent a really significant haircut for pensions, endowments, and charities. And then they're going to have knock-on effects in terms of how they can spend their money and how the different allocations they have are going to be made. So it's, I think, the biggest risk that we have, because the assets, the asset appreciation that we've had over the last 14 years is incredibly spectacular. And it was the go-to area for institutional investors to find the yield they needed in order to prosper in a zero interest rate world. So they gave up liquidity in return for yield. But liquidity is important at the point of crisis. Now, we've been through long periods, years and years, where liquidity has been abundant. And investors had the clear belief that central banks would ride to the rescue every single time. So these sectors are underperforming now because investors have less belief that central banks will ride to the rescue every single time. And modern monetary theory only works when you don't have inflation. And of course, we do have inflation. And there's some of those factors that have contributed to inflation are going to ease, but others won't. And most particularly that the availability of workers is a significant headwind. So that's also political. So we would definitely need to see political moves made to try and encourage more people into the workforce and to import more workers. And if we don't see that, then the size of the economy would have to contract to meet the size of the workforce. And that's a significant contraction. And I do think that's part of the reason why we're seeing this underperformance by REITs and also the private equity sector. And I just don't believe that this is something that's simply going to get better on its own. That when you have occupancy rates in excess of 25% in places like San Francisco and approaching 20% in several other cities and then other countries as well, This is a global phenomenon. We've had multiple examples of liquidity events over the last 3 months, and Ghana defaulted on its sovereign debt in here today. So the availability of global liquidity continues to contract, and the dollar has rolled over. So this is also beginning to suggest that the USA is no longer going to be immune from these liquidity issues, and that we're going to start seeing more liquidity issues popping up in the US market as well, which is also a good reason for why the stock market is turning lower as well. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.